I was actually the one with the hesitations because I was like, oh my God, I'm older. This guy is 16 years younger than I am. When I was 16, he was just being born. I've lived so much more life in these past 16 years. And like, I don't know that he's ready for this, you know?
Welcome to the Brown Girl Podcast. This show was created to elevate the voices and perspectives of dual identity South Asians around the world. Here we have conversations on topics and issues that impact our community, as well as share the stories of personal successes and the struggles that often go unsaid. My name is Julie George, and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining today's episode. Today we are talking about age gap relationships. And our guest is Kale Baldeo. Kale is based out of Toronto, Canada. She's 46 years old, and she is engaged to her fiancé, Mike, who is 30. So they have a 16-year age gap, and Kale comes from an Indian Guyanese ethnic background, and her fiancé, Mike, is white. Kale was such a delight to chat with. We talked about so many things. We talked about how her and her fiancé met. We talked about her past relationship history, what she wanted out of a relationship, and how she was able to manifest that. We talked about meeting each other's families for the first time and how they all reacted given their age difference. And we also talked through how she's navigated a lot of the challenges and fears that come with dating someone who's so much younger than you. So with that being said, here's Kale. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, good morning. How are you, Julie?
Doing good. I'm so excited to have you here. So we have an interesting story behind how we connected. So I actually found you through TikTok, sort of. One of your friends came up on my For You page and she had basically shared a video and was like, hey, this is my friend Kale. And you were in the background. And she said she's 47 and her fiance is 29. And I commented on the photo and I was like, ah, I need Kale on my podcast.
Actually, he just turned 30 in July, and I'm still 46. I'll be 47 in another 3 months.
So you're 46, he's 30. So let's start off by just having you tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us, you know, from the beginning, how did you meet your fiance and how did all of it start?
Sure. Well, I'm 46 years old. I'm the youngest of nine. I do a lot of things with work. I've had a pretty crazy career. Most of my career has been in sales. I went to U of T, the university local here in Toronto. I've been around the block, let's just say. Been around the block and been around the world, you know, relationship-wise, friendships-wise. I lived in several cities and countries in the world.
Yeah, I love that. And so how did you meet your fiance and what's his name?
His name is Michael. I call him Magic Mike. It was very embarrassing actually how it all happened that I called him Magic Mike. I was just doing what I love to do. I love doing a lot of things, but one of my ultimate favorite things to do is shooting pool. So I was on a league and he joined the league and I was playing a game when he had come in. So he was already checking me out in my yoga pants and my cute little top. And of course I was winning the game. So, you know, my whole team was like, you know, whoop, whoop. So when I came back to the, once I completed my game, I won the game. I came back over and introductions were made from my team captain. Her name was Kate. Well, it is Kate. She's still here on this planet. Kate was like, Mike, this is Kale. Kale, this is Mike. And then our eyes met and it was like, you know, it was just fireworks. And I was just like, Magic Mike. Like my reaction was just so funny. And like all my teammates and stuff were like, whoa, Kale, like that's crazy. And actually he told me before, like he'd never been referred to like that. And it was just so flattering to him. So, you know, we just met each other doing the thing that we both like love so much. And I was actually, you know, told before that you should live for love if you are looking for love. I was not looking for love because I had just gotten out of a very traumatic relationship 6 months prior. And I was just doing me, you know, just hanging out right with my friends, doing the things I love. But I do remember somewhere in the past it said, if you were looking for love, look for it in the places and the things that you love to do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So it sounds like there was a lot of sparks flying, you know, when you guys had that initial connection. But what was kind of going on through your mind at the time? Did you think, oh, yeah, he's attractive, I could be interested if he was single? Or were you like, oh, yeah, he's a good looking guy, but he's...
Honestly, it just never crossed my mind. It was like, you know, we just played the game, you know, we played with the match and I was gone home. And, you know, the following week, because it was just once a week on Thursdays. The following week, because that first week, actually, he was quite scruffy because he's in construction. So, like, his hair was disheveled. He, like, I really didn't even see all of that. Like, it was just like, oh, you know, it was just like eyes. But, you know, he was wearing his construction clothes and he was, like, cleaned up, let's say. And then the following week, he came with a new haircut, trimmed mustache and goatee. He had changed his clothes. Like, he actually brought a bag of clothes to change into, went to the restrooms and changed. And I was like, oh, why is he doing all of that? And then I was like, ding, ding, ding. I think he likes me, right? But yeah. He was just like friendly and nice. And that went on for a few weeks. And then for one of my businesses, I went away to Miami for a week. And we had a group, like a group chat. So he kind of got my number from there and just messaged me and was like, hey, when do you get back? You know, like, how's it going in Miami? And I was just like, yeah, he definitely likes me. And I was like, I really wasn't in that relationship space at all. And then, you know, I mentioned to him that I was getting back on Thursday. I think he had messaged me earlier in the week. And he was like, well, are you going to be there like this week at game? And I was like, yeah. And then he asked me out, actually, like, I think that same week, he was like, can we go on a date? And I was like, okay. So that it was a comfortable place, like where we met and we were always playing. So we actually just met over there and, you know, had a glass of wine. And then we went to another place afterwards. And then that was pretty much like Thanksgiving weekend, like a month later from our initial meeting. It was Canadian Thanksgiving weekend. And so I was with my family. He was with his family and just, you know, going around there and there. And it was just like nonstop talking on the phone and like connecting. And I had my mom with me most of the weekend because I care for her on the weekends. And she was like, who is that? I'm like, that's Mike. You know, it was just like buddy. And then on the Monday after taking my mother back to my sister's, he's like, so will you be my girlfriend? And I was like, what? Like, this is not anything. I'm like, what are we in grade eight? Like, this is so weird, you know?
But
yes, I think so.
Oh my gosh. Wow. What a wild story. So how long have you guys been together now?
It is now over 3 years.
Over 3 years. Okay. So obviously, you know, your fiance is accepting of the age gap, but I'm curious, what were those initial, you know, conversations like from his perspective relative to the age gap? Like, was he open-minded right from the beginning, or did he have some hesitations that you both had to kind of like talk through and work through?
I was actually the one with the hesitations because I was like, oh my God, I'm older. This guy is 16 years younger than I am. Like when I was 16, he was just being born. Like I've lived so much more life in these past 16 years. And like, I don't know that he's ready for this, you know? And when he asked me out, I did say to him, I said, Mike, you are in a different stage of life than I am. I want different things. And he was like, what do you want? And I was like, I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want the whole shebang. I want, you know, like the nine yards. Like I laid it out on the table and I said, I'm not interested in a relationship with somebody who cannot give me the things that I want. Because my previous relationship, I was with a gentleman my age. And, you know, being in your 40s and wanting to have those things, I pretty much wanted to get married and have a family my whole life. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way in the previous relationships that I had. And that last relationship, that guy was like, yeah, you know, I totally love you. And we'd know each other from high school. So, you know, there was an initial built up trust there that was there already. And, you know, he was like, yes, you know, I want to marry you. I want to have a family with you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was just lies. It was just all lies. And he strung me along and never gave me the things I wanted. And, you know, I realized luckily quite quickly, I only wasted a year of my life. I think a year and a half of my life in total. And before we officially started going out, like a year and a half of my life in total on that relationship. But when you're in your 40s, you can't afford to waste a year and a half of your life. You just can't.
Right.
You know, especially like with wanting to try to have a baby and stuff like that. When you're a teenager or whatnot, like I was in a 7-year relationship once. I was in a 5-year relationship once. You know, I was in a 3-year relationship once. So when you're younger, you can do that. When you're at my age, you just can't do that anymore. And I said to him, you know, I want these things. And he's like, I'm in. And I'm like, but how do you know that? And he's like, because I've always wanted those things. And you're the person that I met that I want those things with. He's like, I've never wanted to have those things with anybody. But now that I've met you, I really know that I want it. And he also had a lot of friends that were like in my age group as well. So, you know, he kind of saw like, you know, different kind of mature side to things. And he's not the typical 27-year-old, in my opinion. You know, he's not out there partying every weekend like I was doing at 27. You know, I was living life up and I was out partying with my friends and traveling the world. And he's just quite the homebody type of person, you know?
Yeah. I think most women are attracted to confident, relaxed men who are comfortable in their own skin. And sometimes they're older and sometimes they're younger. But you guys, so he was 27 when you guys met. And I think that age gaps are more problematic when the younger person is like under 25, right? Because 25 is that age where your brain is fully developed. And I'm sure we've all heard like girls mature faster than boys. And whether that's scientifically true or not, I don't know. But I think anecdotally, it holds true in my head. You know, I think from my own experience, like when I was in my early 20s, I was not dating anyone that was my age, you know, plus or minus 1 to 2 years. Like I was mostly trying to date guys who were 5 or 6 years older than me. And it's not so much like at that time when I was 23, 24, it's not so much that I was not open to dating people my age. It's just that the people that I was connecting with happened to be older. So when I was 24, I wasn't connecting with other 24-year-olds. I was connecting with like other 30-year-olds.
Exactly.
I think after 25 is when things start to stabilize, right? Like your core of who you are, your views, your beliefs. And that's not to say like you can't evolve as a person. Like, of course you can. But I think a lot of your core personality and your behaviors and traits and values and all of that is mostly defined by your mid to late 20s.
Exactly. I feel like that too.
Yeah. So, okay. So you got over the age gap hurdle. You started to feel comfortable with that. At what point in your relationship did you guys decide like, yes, this is the relationship that, you know, I want to be in forever?
I think it was pretty much immediate. Like it was just, it just felt so easy. It just felt so comfortable. And, you know, he's just so worth the wait. So patient, so kind, so generous, just open, down for whatever. And that's the kind of person I am too, you know? So it was like, we didn't really have any struggles. Like my only issue with Michael is that he's on Desi time. He's on Indian Standard Time all the time. And it drives me nuts. But, you know, like I'm a person who likes to be on time and it stresses me out if I feel like I'm not going to be. I'm the kind of person that will call you up and be like, hey, I'm just wanting to let you know I'm running 5 minutes late, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. This guy's always on Desi time. But aside from that, like we get along famously. We're just kind of just go with the flow, whatever he wants to do. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And if I want to do something, okay, let's do it. So it was always just like that initially. And one of the things that I did initially was I took him on a trip. Like we went to Miami. We actually did a road trip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we drove like all the way. And in fact, we did a pit stop in New York first. And so we were gone for 2 weeks. And they say, if you can travel with somebody, then you can get along with somebody. And so I had that stuck in my head because there had been some friends in the past that I've traveled with that I'm no longer friends with. Just you can kind of like tell like, okay, this person is like a real PIA. Or, you know, this person is down and we can get along. And we're talking like we started going on October. That was 2 months later. We went on that big trip and like he met a lot of my family because we crashed one of my cousins who was like 70 years old, his son's wedding. And it was just great because he got to meet like a whole group of my family. And he was always, you know, trying to dance the Indian moves and, you know, eating the food and just, you know, he was just open for whatever. And I thought to myself right after that trip, I'm like, this is a person I can spend my life with.
Yeah.
I feel like the first initial like parts of relationships when you're with someone, they try to impress you.
And
you as a female could have like rose colored glasses on, but it's not really until you start introducing that person to your family and to your friends that you actually get to really get the feedback or see what they're all about. And I did date a white guy before for 5 years. And in that relationship, it was like, he never ate our food, well, Indian food. Like he was not, he was definitely a white guy. Like Michael is like, I swear he's a brown guy on the inside and just like white on the outside. Like he's just, yeah, he's just down for whatever with my family too. So.
So he's fully immersing himself 100. Into the culture.
Yeah. And he looks so cute, like in his Indian outfits and going to puja and going to do this and that, you know, like I take him to the temple and he's just like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
He's just so great.
I love that. So were you kind of his first introduction to the Indian culture, or did he have some, you know, previous understanding of it?
He has been with two people, women with color, of color, I should say, WOC, POC. One of them was Trini and the other one was Jamaican. So it was kind of like the West Indian, more of the Afro kind of aspect to it. So I was actually his first like Indian, you know, Indo-Caribbean experience with like the whole Hinduism and, you know, Bollywood movies and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So you guys go on this trip together. I completely agree. I think traveling is such a good test of your relationship because it really tells you so much about the other person for better or for worse. So it sounds like you were really upfront with him from the beginning of like, look, I want to get married. That's in my future. That's the outcome I'm looking for. And I think that's so important. Like we need to see women doing that more. Yeah. It's so crazy to me because I was watching, do you watch Buying Beverly Hills?
No.
Oh, it's this reality show on Netflix. I'm like really into it. But anyways, it basically documents the lives of these people who are, they're also real estate agents, and there's some romance and reality type drama that gets intertwined into it. But I was watching it last night. It was just so wild to kind of like see the scene play out. But it was one of the cast members, Farah, she's the daughter of the owner. And she's talking about how she's 4 years into a relationship and they've never really had a talk about marriage, but she wants that. Like she wants marriage, but she's unsure if her boyfriend or partner wants it. And she's just always been very timid to bring it up. And so I just can't comprehend how that happens, even though I know that that happens often. Like that is a really common thing.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think it's just so important to like be upfront about what you want. And I'm not saying like push a timeline on someone, but it is important to be like, look, marriage is something that I want. It's in my future. And if we're not on the same page about that objective, then, you know, I got to look elsewhere and we got to keep it moving.
Exactly.
Because everyone has different ideas and thoughts on what they want their future to look like. And so you can't assume that just because, you know, you're in the dating stages of a relationship that other person wants marriage
to. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like there's so many different reasons why people stay in relationships that are not happy or healthy for them, you know? And maybe it is that end goal of getting to marriage. And I've seen so many people waste a lot of time in those kinds of relationships and ultimately break up and then they have to start all over again, you know? And, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, like my 7-year relationship, that was definitely my family and his family. Like, that's where we were going with this. But honestly, I just was not ready. And I think, you know, he was the one that ended the relationship eventually. But we had both just finished university. Actually, he finished university a year before I did. Well, more like 6 months before I did. And I guess he was starting to realize that, whoa, like, you know, there's so much more I want to do in life than just get married and have kids. And we already had a couple of friends who had gotten married at 21, 20, who were having marital issues, you know, and having kids at those ages. And I guess he just got scared about it. And honestly, if we had gotten married, we probably would have ended up in that same boat, you know, 90% of my friends are divorced. That's, you know, and the ones who are still married, I don't even know if they're happy. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I feel that marriage is something you should definitely wait for. And you can have those conversations. And of course, in our cultures and stuff, we also have things like arranged marriages where, you know, like people set us up and we marry somebody. Like, I have so many friends who are arranged marriage and their marriages, they never had the love that, you know, they ideally saw in Bollywood movies or whatnot that they wanted. And, you know, they had a few kids together and now they're ending up in divorce and the kids are the ones that are suffering, you know?
Yeah. I know you mentioned you had a couple relationships prior. Were you married before?
You know what? I've got saved by a bell every single time. And I'm so glad that I did. Like, as I mentioned, in that 7-year relationship, we probably would have ended up divorced. The 5-year relationship with that white guy, I probably would have ended up dead because he was abusive. I had another relationship that I got saved by that because my father died. And, you know, in our culture, we're not supposed to get married or anything, celebrate anything, you know, major for 1 year of the death of someone close in your family. And this guy was like, right off the bat, like, I want to marry you. And we were together for a while, but it just turned out that he was an adulterer. So I got saved by that situation. And this, you know, last one before I met Michael was just, oh my God, he was a complete narcissist. Just wanted to control everything about me. And I'm a person, I'm a free-spirited person. I'm going to do what I want to do. But like, he'd get mad at me, like going out with my friends every once in a while, or just the weird, I can't even wrap my head around it now. And in my mind, I'm like, it's just gone. Like, I just erased that relationship out of my mind completely, because if I think about it, I'd be mind effed, you know? But I got saved by the bell so many times.
Yeah, I mean, it's like now that, you know, enough time has passed, you've obviously fully healed from it. Now you can look back and have the perspective of like, oh yeah, thank God that didn't work out, because that really wouldn't have been a good thing.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm a huge proponent for therapy. And after the last 2 relationships, I was, you know, you always wonder, like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Like, am I not lovable? And, you know, there's these kind of insecurities that come out when people do, you know, treat you like that and do things to you like that. And, you know, going to therapy really helped a lot, because my therapist was like, you're awesome. You're amazing. Like, something is not right with those people that did the bad things. Like, you know, so, you know, just carry on. One day you'll find, you know, the love that you deserve. And I feel like you have.
Yeah, I love that. I'm just a believer that everyone kind of needs to go down their own path of singleness, of all the failed relationships. You know, I think that kind of stuff allows you to discover who you are and what you stand for and, you know, what you deserve. And I think that that allows you to kind of embrace your own self and like be confident, you know, in what you've gone through to kind of get you to this place of knowing your worth and knowing what you bring to the table. And I think that's a really important component to having like a healthy and thriving relationship.
Yeah. And you know what? After that last relationship, before I met Mike, I went through something called the Warrior Program, which was a combination of yoga and martial arts. And that's why I was looking so fit when I met Mike. But aside from looking fit, I was feeling fit. I was feeling confident because we did a lot of like self-reflecting and, you know, like trauma releasing and a lot of, you know, unpacking a lot of traumas, whether it be from your family or, you know, relationships or society or even yourself. You can traumatize yourself, you know, by believing certain things.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I have a binder over here thick of like notes. And, you know, there was this one exercise where we did, and we had to carry a backpack of stones with us on our body for 1 whole week. And for each one of those stones in the backpack, it represented a time or something that happened in your life that traumatized you. And I got to tell you, you got to shower with that thing. You got to sleep with that thing. You're not allowed to take it off. And we didn't really know why we were doing it until the end of it, when our teacher made us take the backpack off. And he was like, this is the burden that each person is carrying around with them. All of these things that have happened, these things that you're carrying around in your mind, like, it gets heavy and it gets heavier. So he was like, you guys only carried these backpacks around for 1 week. Imagine if you were carrying these back, you know, carrying this around for the rest of your life. And he was like, everybody's carrying baggage, like rocks and things that are just holding him down. So he's like, you gotta either get rid of it.
Yeah.
Like, those are your choices. You can put down the, you know, and you can say, this has hurt me, this has done this to me, whatever, whatnot. And you can either put it down or carry it with you for the rest of your life. But that burden is a very, very heavy baggage to carry. And actually, you know, I wrote the list of what I wanted in a relationship the night before I met Mike. I literally manifested that list. And I would not have been able to make that list if I didn't really truly know what I wanted to have in a partner, in a relationship. And also knowing myself and knowing what I can give to a relationship. You know?
Do you remember some of the things that you wrote on that list?
You know, most of it was things about, like, you know, communication, kindness, understanding, patience, those type of things. And, you know, I'd say, because I had written a list way back when that Oprah thing came out, back in like 2005 or seven, something like that. And when you write superficial lists, you will get a superficial person. But the things in the end that really matter are someone who is compassionate. Like, if you're having a hard day and you're crying or something's upset you, somebody that you can cry on their shoulder, like a girlfriend, but not a girlfriend, your partner, you know? We can always call our girlfriends and cry and bitch and moan about certain things, but having a partner that you come to at home and then, you know, can see, like, something's off on your face, like, is everything okay, babe? And, you know, can just, you know, help you work through things without being upset that you're having woman feelings, you know? Like, that really makes a difference.
Right. Someone who can empathize with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Absolutely.
How did your families react? Well, let's start with his family. How did his family react when he introduced them to you, or you to them?
You know what? So he asked me on the Monday. So we have had a lot of trips in our life. Okay. We have traveled a lot. And before that whole travel tester, there was a first travel tester, and that was within 4 days of him asking me out. I was going on a business trip to Cleveland, and I was actually having to drive to Cleveland. So I was like, do you want to come? And he was like, oh, okay. So I met his dad within like that first few days. And his dad, like, just the instant he met me, he was just like smiling. He was just so happy. And then I met his mom when I dropped him back from that trip. And she, like, right away made me come in, because I just met his dad at the front door when I was picking him up. But they told me to come in the house, and his mom gave me like a big hug, and they just embraced me right away. His, you know, brother, my sister-in-law, everyone in his family is just super nice. They're Hungarian. And I was a little worried about the, you know, racism issue, because I felt that before. But it was like, they didn't see my age. They didn't see my color. They were just completely and utterly, like, just open. And honestly, Hungarian people, when we were originally planning our first wedding back in July, we were going to do it in the Hungarian Cultural Center. And every single Hungarian person that I met was just so sweet, so kind, so open to me. So I'm like, I think it's more of like, it's probably a cultural thing, but they were just, I never dealt with any of those kinds of dramas like I would have anticipated that I would have.
Right.
I've dealt with in other situations.
Yeah. So it sounds like they welcomed you with open arms. That's amazing. And how did your family react to them meeting your fiance?
Yeah, I was actually way more afraid of what my, because my family's quite judgmental, I have to say. You know, being the youngest of nine, I was kind of the rebel. And I'm just like, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do and nobody's going to tell me anything about it. But, you know, there's still the, how do you say, the cultural norms and things like that that we need to follow and whatnot. So I was quite apprehensive about sharing him with my family. But I had already decided in my mind that regardless of what anybody thought, any, you know, what they said, what they did, if anybody was going to be bitchy to him, I'm never taking him there. I would not want to put him in an uncomfortable situation just because my family is not accepting, you know? Funny enough, I was completely in my head about that and they completely embraced him too. And I think it's because he's such a nice guy, you know, such a nice person that even if you wanted to be an ass to him, you couldn't because he's just so nice, you know? And, you know, my one brother-in-law, he's 70 years old now. So he would have met Mike, what, when he was 67? And he was just very shy. He was like a gentle giant. He's huge. He's muscular. And he met Mike and all of a sudden, like, he never speaks, my brother-in-law. He's a very quiet guy. My sister spends all the time doing all the talking for both of them. So, you know, but he met Mike and it was just like nonstop talking initially. My sister and I are staring at them like what's going on over here? Like, this is so strange to us, you know? But he's just kind of had that connection and reaction with everybody in my family that he's met. And, you know, my brother-in-law and him are like best friends now, even though there's like 40-year age gap between them, you know? But it is so insane to me. And we've actually traveled with them too, like... last year, we went on like a 7-week Panama, El Salvador, Mexico. Like, we went on a big trip with my sister and my brother-in-law, and they just got along famously. It was amazing. It was really
great. I'm sure that was such a great feeling for you, too, knowing that your family is so welcoming to your fiancé.
Which I was not anticipating at all. Like, I thought, like, because I've had people in the past that they were, like, rude to, very rude.
Right.
And I was embarrassed. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to be so embarrassed by this. But I was prepared to cut ties if I had to, because I was like, this person is just too amazing for me to have him deal with BS from my family.
Right. How are your social circles impacted by your age gap, if it is at all? Like, are there times where you feel out of place, or does he feel out of place when you're hanging out in various social circles?
Yeah, no, not at all. My friends, I have a nickname. It's called Crazy Kale, and I've always just been very youthful, energetic. I'm the one that like, come on, friends, let's go here and let's do that, let's try this, whatever, you know. And so I've always had that kind of an impact on them. So I have like a youthful kind of, my friends are, you know, sometimes would say that I'm immature or whatnot. And I'm like, well, it's not that I'm immature, it's that my name Tail means playful in Hindi. Like, my pundits gave my parents the right name to give me. I'm just a playful, happy kind of person. So I think because of my youthful type of personality, I'm able to fit in with his family. And because he's kind of got like an old soul type of personality, he's able to fit in with my social circles. So, and, you know, I feel like staying open and being able to go with the flow in any given situation really assists the situation.
I mean, I can just tell, I think I even mentioned this to you in our pre-chat, but like, you've got such a young, vibrant, bubbly personality that it just makes you like a natural fit for any kind of, I'm sure you can navigate any kind of social.
Like, you know, and my living life, because of being in this very strange family dynamic, you know, my sisters are all in their 60s. And like my cousins, I have cousins who are like 70s and 80s. So I've always kind of had to navigate being with older people like that. And then also, you know, my nieces and nephews and my grand nieces and nephews, like, I've always had babies and all different ranges of people around me to have to deal with. And I think for Mike, he's just easy.
Right.
No matter where we go, like, even if we're in a different country, he's making friends. We're making friends everywhere we go. You know, people want to talk to us. They just, I don't know, people just gravitate to us in a way. Not sure why.
I love that. what are the fears that you have about your relationship due to your age gap? So I was trying to do some prep for this episode and actually came across a couple of resources and support groups and podcasts that exist on age gap relationships. And so one of them, I found this podcast, it's called The Age Gap Love Story. And I listened to a few episodes just on my daily walks. And so that podcast is this couple that hosts it. The husband is in his 80s, the wife is in her 50s, and they've been married for like 30 something years. And so in one of the episodes, one of the things that they discussed was like the fears that are common amongst couples who have more sizable age gaps. And one of them was how the older one may feel fearful that they're going to be left one day for a younger partner. Like, are these fears that have come across your mind? And if so, how have you dealt with that?
Yeah, so I have a couple of issues. One of them being that my mom, she's 86 years old. Well, 85, she's gonna be 86 in March, and she's got dementia. So Mike and I care for her. Actually, she's here with us for like the next, I think it's total 10 days. And you know, he's been amazing with her, but my fear is that in another 30 years, 40 years, I might be going down that same road as my mom. And I don't want him to have to care for me in that state. And, but he is absolutely incredible with my mom. And also his grandfather had dementia as well. So he's familiar with that. But I said, Mike, I could possibly end up like my mom. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going to take care of you right to the end. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want you to see me like that. Because there are certain things that are, you know, the dignity is lost in some aspect of things. Mm-hmm. And like having to give my mom a bath or take her to the bathroom or whatnot. She's like, oh, babe, like, I don't want you to see me like this. And I can understand because she was an independent woman and, you know, she had all of her things going for her. And now she's this person who's completely dependent on, you know, her children pretty much for everything. And, you know, Mike and I are not going to be having children. So it'll be him. And I don't want him to do that. But he absolutely mm-hmm. insists that he will.
Mm-hmm.
Also about being fearful about your partner wanting to leave you for a younger person, maybe, right? Because like when I'm 85, he's only going to be 70, or when I'm 75, he's only going to be 60. Like I think about things like that. And you know, I right now, like, I don't know if you could see the grays in my hair. They're starting to grow out again right now, but I have to be on top of that every single month. I got to put color in my hair so that I don't look much aged. I have to be, you know, I feel like for myself, like I have never felt more secure in a relationship than I do now, but I still have the couple of issues about with my gray hair or my body not looking like, you know, youthful and young or being in pain or whatnot. But honestly, we haven't gotten to that bridge yet. We haven't crossed that bridge yet. And so I'm not going to sit here worried about what if he leaves me for a younger woman. Because at the end of the day, I'm kind, I'm sweet, I'm so many awesome things that he would probably be searching the world looking for somebody as amazing as me. I just know that, you know?
Yeah.
And like just even the adventures, like he's been to 6 different countries in the past 3 years that he's never been to. Like the things that he's done and experienced with me, he would probably never experience with someone else, or it would always be a second, you know? Like we're just having a great fun time right now. And you know, if the day does come, and I have said to him, if the day does come that you find someone that you're attracted to or you're interested in and you'd like to leave, by all means, please do that. And don't do it behind my back. Let's discuss it. I will be happy to let you leave. I will move on with my life. I've lived a pretty awesome life so far by myself. And I know that I can do that again. And of course it would hurt, would probably hurt him, it would hurt me, but that's just a part of life. I could have said to myself, well, I'm never going to fall in love again because I've been hurt so many times, but I'm just
right.
not going to do that. Like, I'm going to give myself the chance. And with love comes the possibility of being hurt. But
right.
you got to stay open-hearted.
Yeah, that's such a great perspective to have, Kale. I think, like, you know, there's only so much of life that you can control. And all relationships are a leap of faith. You know, whether you're dating or married, whether there's an age gap or there's not an age gap, it's still a leap of faith. It comes down to who you believe your partner is to be at their core, their values. And you're still putting your faith into another human being that the relationship will stay intact. And so if you like today believe that your partner is good for you, then it's more important to spend time nurturing the relationship and doing all those things that you mentioned, being present in the relationship than, you know, letting those fear, those like what if fears take over.
Exactly.
I also think a lot of it comes down to like understanding your own attachment style. So if you're someone who has an anxious attachment style or you have an avoidant attachment style, like those will manifest into the relationship irrespective of whether there's an age gap or not. And so you have to take steps to yourself to like work through that and manage that in the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And also I did read a couple of articles at initial onset of our relationship. And one of the things that they said, because it's a little bit different with older men, younger women than it is for older woman, younger man. But one of the things that really stuck out in my mind was that when an older woman is with a younger man, he tends to respect her more. You know, he respects her experiences in life. He respects her career. He respects all those things about her that maybe men who are older than her or at the same age do not respect. And for me, respect is the most important thing in any relationship. And I feel super respected in this relationship. And, you know, I just feel because I'm respected, I feel super confident. I feel so loved, you know?
Yeah.
And it really means a lot to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really wonderful to hear. And then I know you went through IVF and this whole journey of trying to conceive. And so if you're comfortable, tell us a little bit about that journey and what that's been like for
you. So I actually started the journey in 2017 by myself when I wasn't in a relationship because I knew I wanted to be a mom. So I started going to the doctor and testing out, you know, all the stuff. So when I met my partner, the one that I told you that I knew from high school and we were together and, you know, I said to him, like, this is before marriage, before anything else in the world, I want to be a mom. So if you're on board with that, and he was like, yeah, I am. And just never just wasted that time of my life. And I feel like because, you know, everything the doctors have told me all looked really positive. You know, they said that I had the ovarian stores of a spring chicken. So I had a lot of eggs, like, you know, obviously because I have six sisters and my mom had nine of us. The doctors were very positive that I was going to be able to be a mom. And then that person wasted a year and a half of my life. So we're talking like 2 year gap between when I first started my journey to when I met Michael. And then, you know, we went to the doctors and everything. We did all the screenings and everything. And they said, well, there's no reason why you guys can't conceive naturally. So we were timing it and everything to try to do it naturally. And then after a few months of it not working out, we decided to go the IVF route. But unfortunately, even though I had a lot of eggs, once a woman gets to be a certain age, the eggs are no longer viable to produce healthy embryos to create a child. So at that point, I was very devastated. I was very, very devastated. And I said to Mike, like, you know, I think you should go find a younger woman, be with someone who can give you a family. Because he didn't want a family. And he said to me, I choose you over a child any day. And not to say that we're probably not going to try again, but we did spend a lot of money to do it. It's very expensive. And also the emotional toll. As you can see, I'm very emotional about this right now. But I also have a lot of children in my life. You know, my friends' kids, my nieces, grandnieces, and nephews. We are actually going to be volunteering when we go back to Mexico in January at an orphanage. And so we do have intentions of being around children. I think our real plan is once my mom passes away, we'll go to India and I'll probably do an egg donor scenario. Well, you know, go around the village where my family's from and find somebody who looks like me and hopefully get some eggs.
And, okay.
You know, because I still do want to be a mom. But like one of my friends told me that she's like, you're already a mom. You're a mom in so many different ways to so many different people.
Thank you for sharing that. I know that's not easy. And we're certainly rooting for you. You know, wish you all the love and positivity and best wishes.
Thank you.
What are you most looking forward to after you're married? Or tell us when you're getting married and where is it?
Okay, so we were supposed to get married last year in July. Well, he proposed last February when we were in El Salvador. And it was really cute because my sister, my brother-in-law, and his mom, we were all there together and he proposed in El Salvador. In fact, he had the ring after 3 months of us being together. And my same girlfriend was the one that helped, the one that from the TikTok. She was the one that arranged to help him get the ring. So this is ring number one.
Oh,
and he got, like 3 years ago. And this is ring number two from this year.
So you have two rings.
Yeah, I didn't. So he got this ring 3 years ago when he wasn't really making that much money, but he, you know, he wanted to propose. He tried to propose like so many times, but I'd somehow always just keep finding the box or the appraisal, or I just like messed up his proposal so many times. And then finally in El Salvador, it was, you know, what, 2.5 years of being together. So he upgraded the ring, the new ring, because this one was like tiny.
Yeah.
And so we were supposed to have this big fat Hindu wedding in July, but I was also, we were both actually helping to open a new comedy club in Richmond Hill. And it was a lot of stress, like, you know, trying to get the business open. And it was just physically, emotionally, a lot of stress. And then on top of that, this big fat Hindu wedding that was driving me nuts, all the aunties and uncles that you have to invite that you don't even know about. And it just started to get completely out of control. And I was like, I'm not trying to be stressed on my wedding day when I'm under, you know, the morrow trying to walk around the fire and people coming to ask me all stuff like, oh, where's this thing or that thing? Like, I was just like, oh my God, I can't do this. So we decided to just put it off. And, you know, we love traveling so much. So we're doing a destination wedding in January.
I love that. And where is it? Where's the wedding? In where? Cancun?
Yeah. Our resort is, they're experts in doing the Desi weddings. So we're going to be having the whole week with the Mehndi parties and the Sangeets and the Haldis and the, yeah, the wedding on the beach. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, destination weddings, it seemed like it would be way less work on your behalf with the planning and natural beauty of whatever location takes care of most of the wedding aesthetic and the decor. And then as far as all the people who are going to show up, it's really the people closest to you at the end of the day to be traveling. And that's the most important thing.
Exactly. And, you know, you get to spend like, you know, then dedicated time with everybody when you're away as well. So we're expecting like 30 people. So it'll be some of my family members, his family members, and some of our friends. And we're just going to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited for you. Before we wrap up, do you have any parting words that you want to leave to our listeners?
Yes, for sure. Life is challenging. Most of those challenges come from the thoughts that we create, the scenarios in our head. And I would just say, like, just try your best to stay optimistic, keep your heart open, and just be happy. And you know what? If you're sad, be sad too and just let it go. You know, feel your feelings.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, Kale, thank you so much. I have loved talking to you. I feel like you have a personality and voice to be on radio or have your own podcast or your own YouTube or something. But yeah, thank you so much. I'm super excited to release this episode for our listeners.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've actually been told a lot lately in the past 5 months that I should be, you know, a comedian. So who knows, you might see me on stage making some jokes at some point at the comedy club.
Gosh, I love that.
Thank you so much, Julie, for taking the time to interview me. It was a pleasure, and I do look forward to keeping in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Kale.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. You can also connect with us on Instagram at thebrowngirl_podcast and all other social media platforms listed in the show notes. Thank you again. I appreciate you being here.